Hey, Vaughn.
Just a question.
How are you?
Okay, thank you.
Good.
Just a question. You were talking about Parampara from Shukadeva Goswami. Where does Sutta Goswami fit into that?
Sutta Goswami is one of the branches from Sudev Goswami. Sudha Goswami was initiated by Sudev Goswami. Mm-hmm. In Bhagavata Parampara,
yeah.
He comes under through Sudev Goswami. Because when Sudev Goswami was speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, in the hall, he was present there.
Yeah.
You know that. Right? So, after he has spoken Srimad Bhagavatam, people asked, where will I hear Bhagavatam again? Others inquired about it. What did Sudev Goswami say? Sudev Goswami says, he looked at the hall who were all present there and he understood, apart from Parikshit, another person has got Bhagavatam properly, the realization, like Parikshit has got, and that was Sudev Goswami. So he looked at Sudev Goswami and told everybody present there, that person, Sutta, who is sitting there, he will speak Srimad Bhagavatam in Naimisharanya later. Those who want to hear Bhagavatam can go there. So, Sudha Goswami is always a disciple of Sudeva Goswami. That is the way it is.
But what was the, I didn't quite understand, the other parampara you were describing, from Sukadeva Goswami to, I can't remember the name.
Ah, yeah, yeah.
And to Shankaracharya.
Yeah, yeah. That is the Vedanti parampara. Vedantam comes through that.
Okay, so there are two different branches from that.
Yeah, it's like this. The Jnana, Rishi Parambara, what we call it, Rishi Parambara, Rishi sages, yeah? Mm. Jnana Parambara, or the process of knowledge, Jnana Margam, comes through this Parambara. Narayana, Brahma, Vasishta, Shakti, Parashara, Vedavyas, Sudev Goswami, Lodapada Acharya, Govinda Bhagavadpada, Shivaracharya. This is the most famous Parambara. All other Paramparas are much later.
Okay.
This is the original Vaidika tradition parampara is this. The other paramparas have come much later. For example, Ramanujacharya's parampara, Madhvacharya's parampara, and Vallabhacharya's parampara, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's parampara, they are all much later ones. The original Vaidika parampara means this is that parampara. You find it difficult to digest that, won't
you? No, I'm only familiar with the, the Bhagavad.
That's what it is. When you read
I wasn't books, aware of that other one.
Is, yeah. Okay. This is the original parampara in the Vedic tradition means that Rishi parampara right up to Sudeva Goswami, up to this. And after that, Gaudapada Acharya. Gaudapada was a, they're all personalities, you have to read about their life, then you will know that. Who is Gaudapada? Gaudapada's Gaudapada's life and Gaudapada, they are all writing in from their realized states. And Gaudapada initiated this Govinda Bhagavadpada. Govinda Bhagavadpada is Shankaracharya's guru. And then others came after that. Later on.
So where can you read about them? Because they're not in Prabhupada's books as far as I'm aware. So
it's not there.
It's not there.
To some extent, it's mentioned in Charya Charitamrita, to a limited extent.
Yeah.
Prabhupada doesn't put that very much in that book.
Mm.
If you want to read, there are other books available. If you look into the website advaita.org, it will tell you a lot. Advaita.org. It will give you the Rishi Parampara there, that mentions there. And then there are so many books available, so much available.
Yeah.
It's up to... to you, if you want to read through the books, or if you want to, how much you want to go involved in that. But generally, we think that where is this Sudeva Goswami coming from, isn't it? That question will always come.
Yeah.
That we will see in the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada mentions about Sudeva Goswami also in the first canto. You will see that.
Yeah.
So, that explanation there about Sudeva Goswami, Prabhupada only says that he was a monist. And he has he was completely situated in the monism.
Yeah.
He mentions that, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, but where is he coming from? Where is he coming from?
Right.
That question will come. And what you have to remember is that in the Vedantic tradition, when we say Vedantam, generally means Advaita Vedantam. That is what is always Vedantam. This Vedantam, what we are now talking about based on bhakti, it's a modern thing. It's not the original Bhakti. There's no word such Bhaktivedanta and all that in the beginning. It's much, much later, in the last 500, 600 years, that these words were coined, Bhaktivedanta. Like, prior to that, they didn't exist. Originally, only Vedantam existed.
So, Bhakti was not part of...
Bhakti was not even taken as a part of the Vedanta.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. It is like that. You will see in the Bhagavad Gita, if you
so
study...
Bhakti is not eternal, then, in that sense.
Bhakti,
from a Vedic perspective,
bhakti is like this. Bhakti is is necessary for everybody.
Yeah.
Without bhakti, no spiritual life, right? But what is then Bhagavad Gita saying? Bhagavad Gita is saying to us that if you look into that fourth chapter, he is saying there that jnana yogena sankhyanam karma yogena yoginam. Jnanam and karmam are the main things that spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. Sanghyam and karma. How do you understand that? Because you remember the second chapter is actually a summary of the Bhagavad Gita.
Mm-hmm.
Bhagavad Gita actually finishes with the second chapter. Krishna had only intended to speak that much, the second chapter. But it started with the third chapter. Why did the third chapter come? Because Arjuna asked questions. Had Arjuna had no questions, then there would not be remaining 16 chapters. Was no need to speak. Everything what Krishna wanted to say to Arjuna, he has spoken in the second chapter.
Mm.
And if you look at the second chapter, there is only two things spoken, Sanghyam and Karma.
Mm.
If you study second chapter carefully, you will understand this. There is only two things spoken in the second chapter, Sanghyam and Karma.
Mm.
And that is why when he asked that question, Arjuna asked that question, if you go back into the fourth chapter, if you look into the fourth chapter, you will see there, Jnana Yogena, he says there, that the Arjuna's question was, that, 3-3. See that. Shri Bhagavan Vacha, Logesmin Dvida Anishta, Pura Prokta Maya Anaka, Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam, Karma Yogena Yoginam. This is the actual Bhagavad Gita's message. Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam, Karma Yogena Yoginam. These are the two important discussions in the Bhagavad Gita. And bhakti is necessary whether you are going through Jnana Margam, whether you go through Karma Margam. But primarily, Krishna only intended to talk about Jnanam and Karma. More than the bhakti. Bhakti is expected. You expected to have bhakti in spiritual life. Otherwise, nothing will work. So, therefore, these two paramparas, Jnanam and Karmam, the embodiment of that is, Ramachandra is the representation of Jnana Yoga. Krishna is the representation of Karma Yoga. You see, Ramachandra is the representation of Jnana Yoga. Krishna is the representation of Karma Yoga. Solar dynasty is Jnana Parampara.
Yeah, okay.
Lunar dynasty is Karma Parampara. That is how it is. Yeah. So, as you go through Bhagavad Gita more in a deeper level, you will know this, that way you look at Sukadeva Goswami is that he is actually the person authority on the Jnana Parampara. He comes in that parampara. Jnana Parampara. People misunderstand sometimes because if you don't read other books, this will happen. What will happen is you will read only one set of books and you will think this is it, everything. And people have misunderstood so much about Sukadeva Goswami. They are thinking that, oh, he, as soon as he heard Srimad Bhagavatam, he gave up everything.
Yeah, that's, that's what
how can you do that? How it doesn't make any sense at all. It doesn't work like that. What happened to Sukadeva Goswami is...
But he was born self-realized.
Yeah. He was realized always.
Yeah.
Was always realized, right? Now, Sukadeva Goswami identity also, you have to be a little bit careful here. When the rishis talk about themselves, they don't want you to know about them as a person. Because they are not persons. Sukadeva Goswami, if you want to see him now, where will you go looking for him? That is why, in the Bhagavatam, when they talked about him, what did they say? Sarva bhuta hridayam mani mana rosmi. One who is present everywhere.
Yeah.
He has no personality or identity like that. But he can accept a form when he wants it. Just like when he came to see Parikshit, he took a form there. And 16-year-old boy he was looking like at that time. And for the same reason, the rishis, when they talk about themselves, they don't want to give you an impression that they are limited to one body. Because then it makes no sense what they're talking about.
Is that when I read the other day, Prabhupada said in a letter that the spiritual master is the principle, not
it is,
the body?
It is,
is that what he's referring
to? Yes, it is, absolutely,
anywhere.
Okay. Present everywhere, and spiritual master's position is also, Uddhava asked this question to Krishna, and Krishna says to him, Altmeiva gurur altmeiva purushasya visheshada pratyakshan animanabhyam shreyasam anivindade, that you are accepting a body for the sake of the disciple, because disciple needs to have an association with the bodily level. Therefore, that association is given to him. But otherwise, spiritual master's position is Krishna himself. It's not different from him. And when we say Krishna, we are referring to his spiritual identity, as Krishna's spiritual position, that as the Antaryami present in everybody. Krishna is present inside us as Antaryami. Super soul, as we call it, isn't it? So he comes out from inside in the form as a spiritual master outside. And when the business is over, he goes back inwards into the spiritual master as the Antaryami again. So rishis don't want us to think about them with respect to your body. Because if you are thinking about them in terms of a body, they are not very proud of that. Because that means that you have not understood anything. And they think that you are the bodily identity and you are pulling them also into the bodily identity. And that is the reason when you talk about Sukadeva Goswami, you have to be a bit careful that in one Puranam, he is a married person and he has got many children. And in another Puranam, he is a brahmachari. So when you don't read these books, you will start taking only one side of it. You will start always thinking that he is a person. But rishis deliberately did this to us. Reason is that they don't want you to get caught up in time, in space, in form, and in the name. All these things. These are all in relationship with the body only exist. Which one? Time and space and mind and form and all these things. But if you continuously stay on the bodily level, you will never come out of it. You will always be in the bodily level. So therefore, Rishi's point, Vasishtha, Vishwamitra, all of them you will see. So many things you read about Vasishtha, it's unbelievable what's spoken in the Bhagavad about Vasishtha. Somebody has eaten him and he came out through the stomach, cut open the stomach and came out from that. All kinds of stories you will read about the Rishis. Why is it like that? Because Rishis, Vasishtha had a curse, Mitravarna, and Vasishtha was born, had to take birth from the Urvashi's belly once. So many things they had to go through, but they know who they are. That is important thing. Okay. They know who they are. They know that they are not the body. Whereas when you think that you are the body, you are always identifying with the body. If you identify yourself with the body, you will look at others also through the body. It's not possible for you to look at someone else as Atma when you yourself are in the bodily level. Is it not?
Yeah.
So that is exactly why it is like that. So when you read other books also, you will understand this, that this parambara, when we are talking about, generally when we, you see, the unfortunate thing is that people have such limited access to some of these things that they don't try to find out little deeper. They don't probe into it in a deeper level. So they have been told that there's only these four paramparas exist, Vaishnava paramparas we call them. And anybody who takes initiation, this four parampara will go back to Godhead. All others who are outside this four parampara has no hope. This is how it is spoken.
Yeah.
But that is their misunderstanding. What can you do about it? That they don't have the understanding, proper understanding. It's not spoken in the movement properly about it. You're not open about things and you're holding something back, not able to present things properly in open level. And so therefore many people have caught up in this problem of the parampara system. They don't understand properly these things, and therefore sometimes you have to say this to them, that parampara, where is people will ask this question, where is Uday Goswami coming into all this? He does not belong to any of the four Vaishnava paramparas. And he has spoken Srimad Bhagavatam. So only if you take initiation in this four parampara, you have a choice of self-liberation.
Mm-hmm.
So how come liberation came, Sukadeva Goswami was liberated if he is not in one of the four paramparas?
Mm.
Naturally, you have to ask that question, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
And there were many, many great souls who have come. For example, if you look at Yaneshwa in Maharashtra, Tukaram, Namadev and all that, which parampara did they come from? And we are all glorifying them for their greatness, is it not? But they don't belong to any of these four Vaishnava paramparas. So how did they get liberated then? So when we make that statement, we have to be very, very careful that you have to know the whole picture behind it. The Vedic tradition is not limited to a few books. It goes a lot more than that. It goes into many millions of years behind it. And therefore, you just have to get a little bit more deeper level, this understanding. Otherwise, it's a bit confusing and it will always remain as a doubt inside.
Mm.
And it will cause more problems then, when there is doubts inside. Mm. So,
just one other very quick question. You were mentioning like someone can spend 20 years in the kitchen without hearing, without
satsang,
and that makes no advancement at all.
Yeah.
But you also see people, devotees, who do satsang, they go on Harinam regularly.
Mm.
But even after 20 years, you see this, they've still got certain, like they're always angry still, or, you know.
Mm.
Similarly, they don't seem to be
progressing. So anger and things like that, it is very difficult because the reason is that anger is actually swabhava. Prakriti it is. Prakriti means, swabhava means prakriti. That means swabhavam belongs to prakriti. Prakriti means material nature. Now, where is anger coming in the mind? That means a person has vasanas inside. Vasana has not gone away. You may have gone for Harinam and you may have attended Salsangam, but the effect may not have happened to the extent what it should have happened. For example, in Salsangam also, if you don't take the knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, whatever you are hearing, and if you are not making it as your own, then it won't be of any use. Suppose you have heard like this and gone to the other way. If you are not Swamshikaranam, Swamshikaranam means making it your own. If that has not happened, it is not of much benefit. So, sometimes this happens that you are thinking that you are in spiritual life. You are thinking that you are engaged in Salsangam. But, if you are not that seriousness to what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, if it hasn't happened, the progress will be very, very slow. Very, very slow. A lot depends on how much, what Krishna says, Vyavasayalpiya Buddhi Egeha Kurunandana. Isn't it? In the second chapter. The Vyavasayalpiya Buddhi makes all the difference. It makes all the difference.
Yeah.
That commitment, that seriousness. If you come to spiritual life, and if you take to Salsangam, you have to hear. And what you have heard, you have to contemplate on that. Mananam. Sharanam should be followed by Mananam. And then it should become Nididhyasanam. Nididhyasanam means you have to make that your own. You have to make it as your own. So, that means, for example, when you are studying Srimad Bhagavatam, people are studying Bhagavatam, thinking with the understanding that, oh, it's all a bunch of stories there. Isn't it? A lot of nice stories. Some stories are far out. And when they read that, they say, wow, this is amazing, they say. How this can happen? That is one level that you are trying to understand the story. But story is not everything. Bhagavatam is philosophy. Bhagavatam is Vedantam. And Bhagavatam is as much, even higher than Bhagavad Gita in the Bhagavatam, actually to know, to realize, in other words. Ekadasha Skandam, I mentioned before also, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has made some compromise on philosophy. In Bhagavatam, Krishna has not even made any compromise there. That you have to get it yourself. You have to understand that what that compromise is in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So when you study Bhagavatam, you will start realizing this, that this is a stage from there is no return, point of no return. That Ekadasha Skandam is like that. What is spoken to Uddhava. That is why even in the Bhagavatam you will notice, Prochodhavaya param samagal sudhama, that after Bhagavad Gita was spoken to Arjuna, Krishna thought, is there something more I want to leave behind in this world? And he found Uddhava and spoke to him higher knowledge than what is not even spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. So, people will generally say, Bhagavad Gita is philosophy, Bhagavatam is all stories, yeah, they are saying.
Yeah.
So that shows their understanding is not very good.
Mm.
Is it not? So the moment you get deeper, that means you have to give time and effort into it, in understanding, getting the message right. And all that what Krishna is saying, you have to analyze it inside, very deeper level, and get all of that realization within itself. That's the only way it will happen. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare